people have testified that it helped them in one thing or the other. But what those things, the primary thing they do is to help you to control your mind. A lot of people are not in control of their mind. They can't tell their mind what to think about or where to focus. The mind just keeps driving them everywhere. But until you get control of that, of your mind, you may never attain a level of happiness, because your mind will want to go take you to places, particularly the way you have always processed things. And those things can be very painful if you don't channel your mind to move away from certain things. What is the purpose of being happy? Can people really be happy? And is happiness as a result of your life circumstances or situations, or is it a choice? So there are a lot of things to talk about when we talk about happiness. But just to remind us, one of the things we know is that if you are not happy, you are not functioning, you know, at your best. So that's one of the things we have known about happiness. In as much as people may criticize it and say, oh, we can't be happy, all these things happening in our world, or have a lot of reasons not to be happy, but we know that if people are not happy, they are not functioning at their best. Could that be the reason why Aristotle says the common purpose of mankind is to be happy, however we define happiness? So however you define happiness, he says maybe that could be our common purpose. So what is happiness? What does it mean to you? Let's start from how happy are you? Are you going to rate yourself from 0 to 10? How happy are you, or how happy can people be? And then what is your baseline level of happiness? Can that be raised? Can you improve on that? So let's see if we can get to any of those. Happiness, we say happiness is a feeling or showing of pleasure or contentment. So that's a basic dictionary definition of happiness. It's a feeling. Okay, so it has to do with emotions. It has to do with our feeling. So it's an emotion that can be expressed or can be seen or can be, you know, even visualized. Right, so happiness, synonyms of happiness, we see synonyms: blessed, satisfied, untroubled, contented, content, delighted, smiling, radiant, beaming, buoyant, right? Merry, joyful, jovial, glowing, carefree, joking, cheerful. All of these things can be other ways of defining happiness. And we also see that some things make people happy. But what type of happiness is that? Because that's very important, people understanding the definition of happiness. Because depending on your definition, understanding your perception of what is happiness, or how you define happiness, that will determine whether you believe that you can be happy or improve your happiness or not. So that's one of the things I have tried to clarify in terms of various ways by people perceive or define happiness, which I will do again shortly. But we know that sometimes money make people happy. Okay, so all these things we can talk more on them. And what are people's experiences? Sometimes we ask people, if you were to choose between money and happiness, what would you choose? And I don't know about you. What would you choose? They are not mutually exclusive. It's good to have the two, but assuming there's a conflict and you are asked to maybe choose one. Or what's your experience? Can somebody have money and not be happy? And can somebody be happy and not have money? And if that is the case, whom among the two, which group have you seen that is more satisfied in life, is more healthy in life? Okay, so those are the type of things we want to look at, because this is everyday life, yeah? Reflecting on our life, reflecting on the things, the life we have been living, things that have been happening to us, what things that are happening around us, people around us, even if it may not be directly, we are not directly concerned in it, but you can see that people around us, we may observe this thing. We have seen people who have, attained a level of wealth, but are they happy? And if they are not happy, what is their life like? Talking about happiness, happiness is one of those things that determine whether people can live, whether life is worth living or not. Their mood, their happiness, level of happiness. Okay, so if people are not happy in life, definitely there are a lot of other things that would be dissatisfactory in their life. So money can be a source of maybe what make people happy from observation. Family can be another great source of happiness. Work, people do, depending on what it is. We've talked a little bit about whether what you do is work, job, or calling. Yeah, whether it's job or career. Sorry, whether it's job, career, or calling. So all of those we can still double click as we go on. Friends can equally be a source of happiness for some people. Going on holidays, particularly those of us here in Europe, holidays is so important. Family, the plan is one of those big activities of every family. Plan family holiday or individuals, they are so looking forward to it. But as we know, after that holidays, we come back to our baseline level of happiness, which is what we are talking about. Can we raise that baseline level of happiness, or is our happiness driven mainly by these activities, or the having or not having, or doing or not doing? Buying a house, buying a car, you know, can also, we've seen, can create a level of happiness in people. Going to church, club, depending on your lifestyle, can equally be a source of happiness, right? So, Let's dive a bit into some of these. But first, what's our perception? Happiness, is it worth talking about at all? And if it is important to us in our life, in everyday life, then is there any way we can get more people to be happy? There's a lot of movement out there that their focus is getting more people to be happy. In fact, some countries now are considering, there are some groups that are checking how happy people are in certain countries. Before, we thought that if someone is living in a country where they have everything, they will be happy. But we measuring the happiness level in certain countries, they are saying that really it's not the richest countries that have the happiest citizens. As we may have equally noticed personally, that it's not the richest people that are happiest. Okay, so how do we improve our happiness? How do we, you know, increase or get better at managing how we manage life so that we are happy most of the time, depending on how we define happiness? What we're discussing here is not that money is not necessary. You don't need money. No, definitely you do. You need it to do a lot of things. And then you need something to do things. But what we're saying is that if you think that money will make you happy, maybe not necessarily. It can improve your level of, your ability to get certain things. But if you're focusing on money alone, it may not create happiness for you. Happiness is something you have to create yourself. You need to do certain things to create, to improve your level of happiness. Sometimes people make money, get promotions, achieve a lot of things in their life, but still you see that happiness eludes them. That's why we are creating this awareness that really don't postpone your day of happiness. The day to be happy is today. The when to be happy is now. Okay, so you don't need to wait until you graduate from high school. You don't need to wait until you marry. You don't need to wait until you become the manager of your company or any organization you work for to be happy. You can create happiness where you are today. And it's left for individuals. Looking at also Maslow's hierarchy of needs, we see the needs people have and how it progresses. Really, some of us know that definitely it's not a pyramid that you must you must go from one level to the other. You can still at the basic level meet some other self-actualization needs without going from physiological to safety to love and belonging to esteem and before self-actualization. Yeah, at any level you can still attain a level of self-actualization, which is what we are seeing now. You don't need to wait until you are 60 before you start helping people, before you start looking for what you can do for people. Where you are now, there might be somebody. And to help to help people or do things for people may not be that difficult or expensive. So there must be somebody that may be around you that you can help with one thing or the other. So it's about creating happiness around you. And I was saying that happiness is about perceived control. When you believe that you have a level of control, people, that can improve people's level of happiness. When people perceive they are making progress, yeah, that's one of the big things also. When people are progressing in life, moving forward, they say they're getting better at things, it can equally improve their level of happiness. How connected people are, the level of your connection, so yes, you know, circle of friends, social interaction could equally be a form of or source of happiness for some. The way they believe or perceive their level of happiness. Also, vision or meaning, purpose, right? That's a big one. When you have a purpose, when you have a meaning for living, right? That is a great one. And that's the one I want to focus on a little bit. Yeah? So that takes us to looking at three types of, happiness, what we call the pleasure, the passion, and the higher purpose type of happiness. What many people call happiness is the pleasure type of happiness, which is based on something happening or not happening, everything going on well, people getting what they want, something happens and then you are happy. Some people, it could be they take some sort of stimulant, drink something, take something, and they are happy. But we see that the pleasure type of happiness, we call it the rock star type of happiness, it doesn't last long. It's just short-lived. As soon as the stimulus or the stimuli, things that have inspired or stimulated that happiness, this wanes or disappears, then you fall back to your baseline level of happiness. Yeah, so, and this is the challenge with a pleasure type of happiness. It's not sustainable. So unless you have that thing happening all the time, and this is why when happiness is based on having or not having, you see that it cannot be sustained for a while. Even when you have a new car, a new house, a new toy, whatever thing it is, right? You see that after, that enjoyment, when you get used to that thing, you fall back to your baseline level of happiness. People win lottery, they're happy, they do a lot of things, but after a while, you see, they fall back to their baseline level of happiness, okay? So that's why a lot of people out there may not agree that somebody can be happy all the time, because what they see is their definition of happiness may be the pleasure type of happiness, which is dependent on stimulus or any other thing that inspires or generates that level of happiness for them. And so that's not the best place. Those things can come. Yeah, they can add to your baseline of happiness, but I think if you want to a happiness that is sustainable, you wake up every day, you might just need to have see other understandings of happiness. There's also the passion type of happiness where people do what they love to do, get focused on it, you enjoy it, you just want to remain there. That's maybe second lasting form of happiness. But also, you see that when you come out of that thing you're doing, we call it being in the zone. When you come out of that, you see that also, if you have not raised your baseline level of happiness, you definitely fall back to that level. So that's it may be longer lasting than the pleasure type, but also it cannot be sustained most of the time, because you don't find yourself doing that thing maybe most of the time, maybe in intervals you do it. So we have the third one, which is we inspire, encourage, train people to get to, what we call the higher purpose type of happiness, which is based on the fact that you have a meaning for living, you have a purpose for living, something that ignites you, something that you are passionate about, something that you wake up anytime you are happy to be alive, you are happy to be involved in, that something bigger than you. All right, and that's the one that we're talking about. That's our definition of happiness in the context of our discussion. Right, that happiness that is based on higher purpose, is based on the meaning you have given to life, that you are happy to be associated with all the time. Okay, so my question to you will be, do you have a meaning for living? Is that the type of happiness you know about, or you want to also know about and sustain? Because that type of happiness, definitely you can sustain it all the time, irrespective of the other things going on in your life. When you remember that you are here for a purpose, you are living the life of your choice, then you see that it will be easy, or it is easier to sustain that level of happiness. Things may not be going, or everything may not be going all right, but definitely you have the hope, you have the confidence that things can improve, that you can turn things around for good. Right? So that's the type of happiness that we know that people can sustain, people can, you know, allow to exist in their life for a long time. And people have cultivated that lifestyle that they are happy at that level most of the time. So people need to know some of these things and also the benefits of happiness. We see that people who are happy, we see that they, when it comes to maybe what they do, they in the work setting, they get promotion quicker, right? So, and that's because of their disposition in terms of, you know, they create an environment that is inviting. They create an environment that people like them, because people like happy people, right? So a lot of people like happy people, unless people who are not happy themselves. Those are the people that they may not like happy people, because they are bringing a different form of emotion from them. But also what we see is that happiness can be infectious and contagious. People are happy around you. You tend to, you know, they tend to drag you in that direction. And the unhappy people also drag people to be unhappy too. So logistics are things we have seen. But happy people, they get promoted quicker in the things they do. Also, we see that they conserve their energy, right? They have energy most of the time. And that is understandable. When you get to understand how, you know, what we call depleting or difficult emotions, how much they drain our energy, how much tiring they can make people. Sometimes people go to work and come back and they are tired. And that tiredness may not just be because of the nature of their job. Two people can go to work and come back, and one might be just, you know, flat. Another person may still have a lot of energy. It's, those things can be explained. How, you know, depending on the energy you use most of the day, right? If you are using the negative, you're mostly on the maybe unhappy or using those difficult emotions, anger, anxiety, fear, you know, uncertainty, lack of trust, all those type of difficult emotion. Well, a lot of times we find it even difficult to know how to express those things, because we know that no emotion, we say emotions are not, we shouldn't classify them negative or positive. They are just what they are. Also, we saying they are depleting. Also, people find challenging, but whatever, however you want to express it, those type of emotion that consume a lot of energy, if your day is filled with such emotion, definitely when you get back, you have used more energy than the other person that was happy most of the day. And that's why someone that is running on those type of difficult, negative, or draining, or depleting emotions can come back and they are knocked out. Right, they did the same job like the other person, but they are flat because they use much of their energy in those type of emotions are draining both their emotional and their mental energy. Okay, so that's why we can say that people who are happy have about maybe 180% more energy than people who are not. So that's explainable for those of us who have done some work in this area of how emotions can impact the things we do. We also see that people who are happy, they are maybe about 108% more engaged in their job. They give attention. They focus on the things they do. So really what they do, they enjoy it. So they give much attention to what they do. And because of their disposition of happiness, they enjoy and they produce better results. They are more engaged. We see that they achieve more. Yeah? They achieve more than people who function from the negative part of things or who are unhappy with themselves. So also see that people who are happy are maybe about 40% more confident. Yeah? Confidence is a very big one. How confident are they? We just published an ebook, The Power of Self-Confidence, which is very interesting, and it will be worth getting a hold of. How important is self-confidence to an individual? We have, from observation and working with people, I see people who are very confident of themselves. They perform better. They are happy to do things. They are happy to try new things. They are happy to, you know, even fail. But then they learn from it and they continue. So what I've observed is that even in work setting, they get promoted faster, even faster than people who may be more qualified than them. Because when people are very confident of themselves, they achieve more, they are more daring, they are more willing to
do things, people's opinion or views about them does not faze them. They still need to go ahead and do what they need to do. Right. So building your level of confidence will be very important. Like I said, we have an ebook on that. If you want to get it, that would be fine. Right. They give better, people who are happy give better customer service. If they're given the opportunity, if the work they do involve dealing with people, you see that they know how better to manage people, right? Because of their disposition of happiness. Okay, so they give better services. Definitely, that's understandable. Okay, people who are happy are equally more creative. People who are happy are more creative. So you see that happiness brings out your creativity. Remember, we said some time ago that when you are not happy, you are not functioning at your best. Okay, so functioning at your best brings out the creativity in you. And this is one of the things we are looking at, some of the things that we want to get to at some point. There are some detailed trainings on how to get to this level. Because when people are happy, you get people to be happy or function from a position of happiness, you see that they do a lot of things better, right? They may still achieve the same result, but with the people who are functioning with those negative or depleting or difficult emotions. But you see that when people function from this the position of happiness, they achieve things better, accomplish better results, and they are happier with themselves, which is the major thing. People who achieve things through fear, anger, anxiety, it's difficult for them to be happy. But when you have this level of happiness, attain a level of happiness, and you are producing results from that perspective, which is a level of positivity, you see that definitely you have already created happiness in your life. And also, you are able to extend it to others. You are using it to influence those around you. All right. So happiness is a very big topic that everyone should pay attention to. Like I said, a group of individuals are measuring, you know, the happiness level of people in different parts of the world. And one of the surprising findings is that it's not people that live in the richest part of the world that are happier than the others. No, it depends on their various, you know, activities, involvement, training, and the things they have trained themselves to do. We also mentioned that the day to be happy is today. When to be happy is now. There's nothing that is going to happen in the future that will make you happy if you don't create that attitude of happiness. That's also what Viktor Frankl was, you know, one of the major points of Viktor Frankl in his book. He says happiness cannot be pursued. It must ensue, right? In doing the things you love to do, in doing it, engaging in your everyday activity, happiness should come from that. Right? So happiness is not something that you get to somewhere and then it happens when I'll change job when I finish from this, or when I get this or get that. All those things may create temporary, you know, short-lasting. Happiness is a very big topic, and that's where we want. We want people to be happy. We want people happy every day. If we can create happiness in anywhere you find yourself, even in your family, anywhere you find yourself, you create that happy environment. And another thing I've observed also is that some people have this fluctuating type of happiness, which can be very challenging, right? Sometimes they are extremely happy, and the other time they are very low. You need to jumpstart them. You need to do a lot of things to support them. Well, that you can create happiness at all is a good thing, but also we want a level of stability, such that irrespective of how your day is going, what other people are doing or not doing, you can still maintain a level of happiness because you know you're in control of it. These are some of the skills we are teaching. We are running some programs that will help people deal with this. One of the challenges people have is how do you deal with difficult people, right? You get to work, your colleagues are very difficult. Your boss is difficult. The people who reporting to you are difficult, right? Things are not going your way. A lot of complaints are coming. How do you manage those things and remain happy, right? So those are the type of things that skills that people need to gain so that they can, you know, go through their day enjoying the things they do and maintaining a level of happiness. You cannot always determine how people treat you. you cannot always determine how people respond to you when you are driving on the road. When you get to work, even people you know very well, they may decide to do certain things that you may not just like. How do you respond to those situations and still maintain your level of happiness? So these are some of the things we want to help people gain, those skills, that knowledge, that yes, even when those so-called depleting emotions, difficult emotions show up, there's a way you can respond to that situation. Yeah. So we see that staying on those difficult emotions, when things happen you're not happy about, if you remain there, you are shortchanging yourself, you are depriving yourself. So the beauty of those, or the benefit of those such emotions, is to alert you that there's something that you don't like, and then your responsibility is to use that information to do something immediately and recover quickly. Also, if you find yourself staying more than 1 second on those type of emotion, anger, anxiety, fear, bitterness, if you find yourself unforgiveness, all of those type of emotion that can drain your energy, if you find yourself staying there more than 1 second, you're staying too long. Yeah, so you're staying too long. You need to recover. Those emotions, they alert you. They play a very important role, letting you know that there's something that is you don't like, or that's not pleasurable to you. And immediately they have done that alerting, their job is done. The any longer you stay there is to your detriment. The longer you stay on that, or replay that incident or scenario that you didn't like, playing it over again in your mind, is equally detrimental. You don't need to, but then you need to train yourself in what we call self-control, self-command. Yeah, you need to be able to train your brain such that you can tell it to where to focus, the things to pay attention to, and the things not to pay attention to. These are the type of things that why we see things people do, like yoga, meditation, mindfulness, all those things. People are finding in it helpful in the things they do. But what the basic accomplishment of such interventions is your ability to control your mind. So you may not necessarily need to do all those ceremonial things that people do in, expressing mindfulness, yoga, all of those things, all of those interventions. People have testified that it helped them in one thing or the other. But what those things, the primary thing they do is to help you to control your mind. A lot of people are not in control of their mind. They can't tell their mind what to think about or where to focus. The mind just keeps driving them everywhere. But until you get control of that, of your mind, you may never attain a level of happiness, because your mind will want to go take you to places, particularly the way you have always processed things. And those things can be very painful if you don't channel your mind to move away from certain things, certain activities, whether futuristic or in the past. Can I improve my happiness base level, baseline level? So that irrespective of what is going on in my day, I can sustain that level of happiness. Irrespective of the news, irrespective of what people do or not do, I can sustain that level of happiness. Those are the type of things we're looking at. And then also looking at what people can do to improve their level of happiness. So those are the type of things we'll be looking at this week, helping people. And also people who may want more help in that area, we can introduce them to some of the things we have that can support them. A lot of us definitely have a lot to improve on this area, particularly gaining more knowledge, recognizing some of, and then reflecting on ourselves, what has been driving our happiness. Like we explained earlier on, a lot of people, what they call happiness is the pleasure type of happiness. When I get what I like, what I want, when I achieve my goal, all of those things are the things that drive most people's definition of happiness. And those people may never attain happiness, because by the time you're accomplishing one goal or more, you're opening up for another one. Yeah, you are buying a house, you're thinking of changing your car, you're thinking of becoming the manager in your company, all of those things, right? Some of the things that people have studied, research that we're using to help people. There's this Stanford professor called Shishat Sharmain. He introduced what he called positive intelligence. Positive intelligence is about measuring how much time, the percentage of time your brain is serving you, as opposed to saboteuring or sabotaging you. Okay, so the percentage of that, very interesting. It's an assessment, and these are the type of things we are trying to get people to be part of, right? But the point is, she's created what he called saboteurs and sages. There are 10 saboteurs. The biggest one is the judge, and then the high achiever saboteur. It makes you, you know, it drives you to accomplish goals. But definitely, if that is one of your primary or predominant saboteurs, that is high achiever, it will keep giving you what to do, right? You finish this one, before you finish, you're adding another one. You see that if you are running on that treadmill, you can never be happy because of the high achiever saboteur. And when you are not doing achieving those things, you see that you are getting very unhappy, very frustrated, very angry. All right, so those things are good to know. Some of those things have helped us. The saboteurs are good. They have helped us to achieve the level of success we have. But also, we can achieve that level of success not being driven by fear of failure, by people's judgment. So if someone has the saboteur of a high achiever, definitely we see how, you know, they will be jumping from one goal to the other to attain happiness or to attain, because those things are what make them, that's their perception, their belief is that who they are or what has meaning for them is ability to achieve all those things they have set out to do or achieving one big thing after the other. But we see that such people, difficult to attain happiness, difficult to be happy because there will always be one thing or the other to achieve. So back to the beginning, when to be happy is now. Like Viktor Frankl says, happiness cannot be pursued. It's there. Just assess it. And believe me, if you're not happy today, maybe there might be just very few things that will make you happy in future. Right? Some people say, when I get married, when I buy my own house, when I move this. No, well, you can still be happy today while improving or working on those things. Right? While working on getting those things. From studies, from even Jesus Christ saying, it's more blessed to give to than to receive. All those things are wisdom that has been there all the time. So we're just getting people to assess it, look at how you can, you know, improve your level of happiness and make it less dependent on your life circumstances. There will always be one thing to do. There will always be a goal to attain. But if you're not happy today, you are not functioning from your best position. You're not functioning at your best. That's what we know about people. So in as much as people may want to argue that, it still stands that people are not functioning at their best when they are not happy. And that's why we want to help people improve their level of happiness. This guy was writing, Bruce Lipton, in his book, Biology of Belief. Very interesting. Studies have been gone into this. Even before conception, how someone was conceived could impact a lot of things in their life. Right, so, but this is not sort of stereotyping, no, but it's just understanding these things and taking advantage of that knowledge. Okay, so when we say 50% of happiness is genetic, that's influence. I think a lot has to do with parents, and that's why we try to let people, particularly people who are still at that level of, you know, growing a family, you can improve the happiness of your children, of your child, significantly, if you understand these things. We are creating such environment from when the child is in the womb to when they are born and growing up. Very, very interesting discoveries, and people are taking advantage of that. Yeah, so another 10% is your environment. You know, 10% of your environment contributes to your happiness. Just 10%. So you can equally create an environment that will take advantage of that. But 40% of our that happiness is dependent on you, the things you think or not think, the things you do or not do, the things you say or not say. 40% of happiness, we say, is dependent on you. So you can see that really, if we analyze all those areas, we can influence significantly our level of happiness, right? One of those things we are teaching or letting people know is that what people do or don't do is not what causes you to respond or do the things you do or be unhappy. What train people to the level that they know that their happiness is their responsibility. If you have a difficult colleague at work, boss at work, we can train yourself so that you can manage how you respond to what they do without you losing your happiness. It's a skill. right? And that's what we want people to know. People, a lot of people don't know that. They think that, okay, if you get an work environment, whatever has happened there, you blend with that. No, if you know the value of happiness, you protect your happiness. You know how to walk away from certain things. You know how to respond to certain things to maintain that happiness. If you run your day with certain emotions like anger, fear, anxiety, frustration, definitely when you finish, by the end of your day, you will be very tired, yeah, worn out. It's not because of the amount of work you did, but because of this, what we call them depleting emotions. They sap your energy. They consume a lot of your energy. You have emotional and mental energy, right? So that's why some people get back to work, they are totally knocked out. If your day is full of, you know, some of the, you use this negative or the depleting emotions most of the day, it could be difficult. We can call them difficult emotions too. But if you use the emotions of happiness, joy, care, you see that empathy, you see that you come back from work, it's like you're ready to go again, even though it's at the end of your day. Okay. So I want to hear your observations, experience of this. Practice some of these things and give us feedback, because these are studies of people, but what is your own experience? Okay, so definitely so much to talk about on happiness. All right, so enjoy the rest of your day, evening, and morning, wherever you are, and keep in touch. If you want to improve, particularly in any of these areas, get in touch and we put you through. Thank you, everyone, and have a very, very beautiful continuation of your day, and look forward to seeing you soon.